You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sandspance radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, this is Mark Wahlberg, and things wouldn't have went down like they did if I hosted my favorite podcast, Hey Fam.
Shut the fuck up!
Oh, you're wearing the Ava sweat? Dude, I went to the... I have this mad sixth sense when some people would be like, let's go here for lunch. Or let's do this, like with work people. Mm-hmm. And I can, one of my skills is, as you know, I can always tell where north is.
Yep.
Always know that.
Have you covered that before? That's news
to me. Do you know this?
No, I didn't know that.
I know where true north is at all times. I can't believe it's taken like 600.
I know where Nolan North is at all times.
Well, so do I. It's Twitter, right? It's like, he's reminding people. Oh, no, he's not. I'm thinking Troy Baker. Troy Baker. I know where Troy Baker is. He's a reply guy for people saying anything.
Nolan North's in the studio right now.
Laying down some fucking sick
Uncharted
takes.
Nine.
I reckon he's a one taker.
For sure.
Yeah.
Sully!
Now AI has figured out how to replace Nolan North saying boost. But I can tell too when, True North, I'll save that for later. Basically, like, party trick, I could be at a new house, like at a house party. People would put me in a dark room and be like, motherfucker, show me where True North is. Bam. And they're like, how do you do it? And I'm like,
How do they check it?
Well, they get a compass out. What phones have compasses
now. Oh, okay. You're just going to parties
pirates,
where people
yeah, I was hanging out in caves. Like raiding caves with Johnny Depp. But I noticed at first when I would travel a lot in the pre-COVID days, and I'd be frustrated that like people I was with, be it like partners or family, would not know where we were, despite the fact we'd been in this city for the first time in our lives for 30 seconds. And I just had this like uncanny, I knew where northeast, southwest was.
It's just your bearings or like,
it's
you
bearings,
know?
Yes. Yeah, but weird. I was reading about it and apparently Neanderthals.
You have a magnet lodged in your brain.
It's not too far from the truth. Neanderthals have a lot of, like, we have things basically in our bodies still that we don't use anymore.
Which book about movies were you reading this in?
It wasn't about movies. It was, what was it? No, I just Googled it. I closed one of my 50 tabs on, movie facts and fired this one up. But, you know, we have like appendixes and things like, we have a gland in our body also that used to excrete a smell like a skunk when we were scared to like frighten off prey. We still have these dormant things in us. Sidebar, I don't have them. I've had them removed. Not by choice. They've all been blocked
or blown
up.
You got your stink gland.
I'm like
removed.
Fucking evolving. I think, no, I'm like the next evolution of person. I don't have an appendix. I don't have that gland.
Consoles?
Have those.
Let's get rid of them. Wisdom teeth?
I'm dying to get them gone. No, wisdom teeth.
Yeah, might have gone.
I don't have them. They've never caused me grief. Well, I might have them.
That means you do have them.
I have them, but they're just hiding. Right. Like Wolverine's claws. I can schnick them out anytime I want. But some humans have in them, apparently from like, you know, like bloodlines or whatever, a deposit of like, what do you use to like not metal, but something in their body, magnesium, some kind of magnetism. Birds use it while they fly. They can see magnets, not like physical magnets, but they can see the magnetic waves of like atmosphere while flying to be like, I'm a duck. Shit's getting cold. I've got to go here for the winter. They can see it. It's like how insects can see shit in you know, insects can see like 400 more color spectrums than we can. Dude, this is what happens when we don't talk for 2 weeks. I drop facts, but some
not just facts, a fact that you assumed I already knew about you.
I think everyone should know this stuff. It's so frustrating.
About you, everyone should know that you know where north is.
But some people have this deposit in their body still. I think it's in the nose and they can always tell where north is. It's like this evolutionary hangover. And some people have it. Some people can just be like...
When we were birds.
From when we were like Neanderthals and needed it for hunting and gathering and shit. So it's interesting that I don't have an appendix. I don't have this scent gland that most people do lodged in their butt.
You got a butt gland removed.
Yeah, I had like a perianal abscess. It kept getting blocked, this gland. And it's this tiny... Yeah, but it was this
I know everything about your butt.
We have this like dormant gland. Most people, they live with it. We don't use it. It's like the appendix. It does nothing. So I'm getting that like future body where I'm like shedding organs, like in kind of like that the last David Cronenberg movie where people get their organs removed for art, which I don't think you've seen that, Crimes of the Future.
Oh, right.
Wild shit. But can tell what True North is. However, I can also tell when some place that people, maybe this has to do with my sixth sense. If someone's like, we're going to go here for lunch, I can be like, this is going to be a shit time. These are my two special skills.
When did you first realize you had this special skill?
Have you ever noticed me just like leave places without telling people? Like that things we've been... Yeah,
that's because you're socially...
That's because I know
you're socially
about...
let's get it started.
Yeah, I'm like, I got to get out of here. Like, I can tell... Like, basically, when the going gets tough, I get going, you know? But I can like now predict that. What was the question?
I didn't ask a question. You just launched into this.
I think you're like how you... But anyway, we went for like... food. Were we talking about food? No. Anyway, oh, uni. No, university. Oh! Anyway,
you saw my hoodie. This is what happened. You looked at my hoodie, which is an Evangelion hoodie.
Let's go to the UTS cafeteria for lunch. There's some cool new choices. And there's like, you know, the one opposite Central Park. It's like being rebuilt like next to the big brutalist classic one. There's that like dumbass fluoro green one. And I'm like, I'm willing to give you guys a chance. Shit was regional airport at best. It was dog shit. And at the char time there, a dude was working wearing an Evangelion hoodie. And that was like the highlight. And I was like, this is shit. I'm getting out of here.
I can't wait to take 5 minutes to tell this on my podcast.
No, I mean, I wasn't even planning. It was
the best intro. Hey fam's fucking back, everybody.
We're so back.
We took a week off to not record. Yeah,
I didn't know where north was for a week.
He kept going south.
I couldn't make it.
Last week we still hung out. We got Chinese barbecue. And we watched Pain and Gain.
Something that I've been like, not, oh man, again, what a strange thing. We all go through it when something is near and dear to you that perhaps the general public isn't behind. And, you know, you love it. You also haven't seen it or engaged with it for a while. So you're like, fuck, I hope it holds up. And I was just like, dude, we've mentioned it a few times, mainly off pod, but it's just, the fact you hadn't seen Pain and Gain was like so good because it meant like, you could watch it for the first time, so, which I was jealous about.
While we would normally, in the exact amount of time that it would take to record two Hey Fams, we sat on the same couch and we watched Pain and Gain. And so maybe every every second of August, everyone should sit down across the world,
whatever you're doing,
and watch Pain and Gain with their bestie.
That's our Sabbath.
That was, so Michael Bay movie made in
2013. Yeah, it was 10 years of Pain and Gain.
Of course, 10-year anniversary is how we celebrated.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do it for the 11th,
12th,
13th.
Now we're
going
to do steroids and try to rob people but not really understand how.
So I think there's an argument to be made that it's easily The Rock's best movie.
Easily.
It's probably Michael Bay's best movie.
I think it could be. I mean, there are some like fucking doozies there though.
Yeah.
Like,
made me want to watch the entire filmography.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, Armageddon is an incredible movie.
Pearl Harbor,
bit of a stinker, but I think, you know, we're going through this Josh Hartnett reevaluation. So it's part of the canon. Ambulance, really good. And he's also like, you know, he's Michael Bay. He's been involved with some like wild shit.
Riddle me this.
Hit me.
Batman. Is there a better Mark Wahlberg movie than Pain and Gain?
I've been doing a lot of thinking. Yeah, I have. I mean, The Departed good in.
That's the biggest, like...
The Departed is so... amazing. But also Boogie Nights. Yeah, it's fucking incredible in Boogie Nights. Okay. But you could...
It's in the top three.
Three Kings as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible film.
I think it's better. I think Pain and Gain is better than Three Kings.
I do too. I think it's Mark playing outside of his comfort
Mark
zone.
Mark rules in Three Kings though.
Mark is incredible, but he that role, incredible at the time, but quite derivative of his future work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he kind of emulates that. But I think it is easily top three, possibly top two. Departed, he is kind of just a cameo as well. You know what I mean? He's in like 4 to 5 scenes max.
Yeah, but he's
but he bodies
he's the last man standing.
He's the last man standing. That fucking shot with the like with the slippers over his shoes where he just takes out Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Fucking incredible.
Great, great movie. Great performance.
It's wild too because I've never, ever, ever, ever thought, and I don't think still, like the idea of Mark Wahlberg and Leonardo DiCaprio in the same room blows my fucking mind. And I don't think they share any scenes.
Maybe not. No.
Because, you know, Leo's going through someone else. and then that someone else gets killed, and then there's no record of Leo, remember?
What a sick movie.
Dude, it's fucking insane. It's such a good movie.
But so I've been seeing a lot of biopics lately. Yeah. And you could say that Pain and Gain is one too.
It's based on
a true story of a bunch of bodybuilders who attempted a kidnapping to get rich
in the early 90s during like the bodybuilding gym phase, like, you know, popular Muscle Beach era.
So it's The Rock, Mark Wahlberg, and Anthony Mackie, probably his best movie too. Only
Endgame, he might be a bit better in.
No, he's
on your left.
He's amazing.
No, I'm joking. There's like two lines in that movie. No, he's incredible in this. He's a dude who can't get erections and fucks Rebel Wilson.
She sucks in this movie compared to everyone else, but it's probably her best movie too.
Yeah,
her best performance. There's a few moments where she doesn't suck.
Everyone else is like phenomenal.
It's just a few moments. Oh, Ed Harris is amazing.
Ed Harris
in this movie
is so good.
Tony Shalhoub.
Out. Yeah, it's great.
It's
Rock
is
amazing too. It's Rock pre-Disney pilled.
It's,
you know,
bizarre that like. He can't,
well, it's before
see
he got a taste of
so
the
mad
family friendly shit. It was before the Jumanjis. It was before,
before the motherfucker wore a singlet and a
got wet
safari
in the jungle
hat.
Yeah. And this was like him being kind of weird. And they're like, oh, it was during that period where people were like, The Rock's kind of funny. Like, he does funny stuff. And in this, he's hysterical. He's like scar-facing cocaine at every opportunity. He's half the movie, he's carrying his like detached toe around.
Shit, it's so fucking funny.
It's insanely good. And he's also like a born-again Christian. So it's insane.
Man, absolute banger of a movie.
Yeah, I'm so glad you liked it.
And like, I just...
it's so... Dude, it costs like $20 million to make.
I know, I just want more movies like it.
I know. Yeah.
And so the biopics that I've seen, I've spoken a little bit about Blackberry. You're seeing it tomorrow night. It actually is finally getting a...
comes out in 2 weeks, I think, August 18th.
A film run, a cinema run in Australia.
Very so late.
Very limited run too.
Very limited, but I am glad it's getting a run.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I might see it again.
Yeah, I'm so pumped.
Definitely one of the best movies I've seen this year.
Yeah.
But
I still remember before I even watched Nirvana the Band, the show, the first thing I saw was his like school shooting doco. Mm. Fake doco, mockumentary. Not the scariest, it's got a funny weird name like that.
But like, you know, there've been a lot of these bizarre biopics. Blackberry obviously as good as it gets.
Oh, there's like,
you know,
product biopic moment. It's, you know, we've got the Beanie Babies. We have
I watched
Air.
That. I can talk about that in a moment
have
too.
Have you seen Air?
I haven't seen Air.
Dude, Air is solid as hell. Air, I think it is like the ultimate dad movie.
Yeah. Well, it's Damon and Affleck.
Viola Davis. Just like dudes sitting around. It's kind of like The Big Short, but if it like made sense. It's like The Big Short for idiots. Because they're just dudes in conference rooms talking, but they're making the Air Jordan.
Right.
It's a sick, and it's like one of Damon's best performances in years.
Okay,
like
sweet.
He carries that movie. He's the lead.
There is, I know Damon's made some bangers over the last couple of years.
He's incredible.
But I still haven't seen Last Julia.
It is. I haven't seen him like in lead for a long time.
Sure. Yeah.
This is him as Jason Bateman's best performance in a long time. It rules, man. You should watch that shit.
I will.
ASAP. It's on Amazon Prime. It's like free.
Yeah. So I've watched a shitload of biopics. So I mean, like three.
And Barbie, arguably.
Yeah, sure.
Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
That is the fucking biggest biopic in the last.
Well, no, I'm gonna throw another one out in the realm.
Oh, Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo.
Which I couldn't make it to the premiere. I did have two tickets to, but you took your the Gran Turismo's biggest fan, not of the games, but of the movie trailer. Your wife.
Yep. So I feel like I saw that trailer 20 times before movies over the last year.
It reminds me of the summer of 2002 at the local event cinemas in Shell Harbor where I grew up. And that was a banger year. There was like Monsters, Inc., Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. There were so many movies out at the same time. Spider-Man, I think. It was like this run of crazes. And they showed this fucking same Ratchet and Clank trailer. not for the movie, but for the game. And there must have been a time with the cinema. And it was like them saying like, don't turn your phone on and like go get popcorn and shit. And I knew that thing inside out. It was like a PSYOP ad. It was insane.
That's so funny because you probably have never played that game. Like
I hadn't. Yeah. I had a PlayStation 2 at the time. I was like, I ain't playing on that shit.
But you could you've
memorized. I was playing Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty over and over again.
But yeah, so I like it just became the trailer that I would just tune out immediately once because it's a pretty
bland.
It's a pretty
it's just
boring
British people
looking,
and
yeah,
David
yeah.
Harbour.
Yeah.
And like a kid sitting playing PlayStation while like a fucking car like appears around him being like, I've done this trap before.
Anyway, so when B and I go to see Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1,
yeah.
that came on before it, and I immediately start tuning out, looking at my phone.
Same.
And then it finishes, and she turns to me, and she goes, "That looks awesome,"
which is like, insane.
That's so funny.
Because up until this point, I thought your wife was like a normal, you know, and that's the first time I've heard of her.
Well, she totally was. She was raised on like action movies. Like,
sure.
She was watching all the Die Hards when she was.
That's right. From, I do like know that. Are you cold, by the way?
Up. No.
Okay, good. Tell me if you do get cold.
We're in an Evangelion hoodie. Yeah. I don't know if you mentioned that earlier, but.
Yeah, she's a diehard kid.
Not that this is it's not a particularly action-filled trailer, but it...
This, if anything, looks like it follows the, like, long, the long celebrated trope of it looks like an underdog film to me.
Yeah, it's like the sports side sports movie kind of thing, that kind of made me go like, oh, maybe this will be appealing.
It could arguably be the first kind of, like, it's not entirely esport, but like esport to real sport biopic, right?
Oh, you mean gamer to racer?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm more racist to gamer. No. More into that.
So, you know that dog shit PlayStation Studios, like, you know, MCU Studios? Oh,
the one you and I were full frontal assaulted with when we saw one of Mark Wahlberg's worst performances.
Uncharted, yep.
In Uncharted. Man, just for the other day when we were talking about Mark Wahlberg, and I was just like, at one point he was going to play fucking... Nathan Drake attached to the David O. Russell Uncharted.
Yeah.
How fucking crazy good would have that been?
It would have been significantly better than him as Sully. What a stupid decision. Directed
by some like fucking journeyman freak. Venom director, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we liked Venom.
I mean, I'm not like using True North to find where Venom's playing in a cinema, you know? Like,
dude, you couldn't stop talking about that movie for like half a year.
Oh, it's insane. I'm more like interested. Like, and
the third one's coming out soon.
And similarly, I would talk.
Didn't they push Kraven
to next year?
Yeah, but it's coming out after Venom 3 now.
It's awesome. That movie's never coming out.
That's so good.
But Venom I loved because of like very similar reasons for another film I'll talk about tonight, which I saw. The Meg 2, The Trench, in which like it is a like dog another shit biopic. Film, a biopic about the second Meg, dog shit experience, but also a film that I'm like I'm obsessed with. But yes, Gran Turismo. Oh, the PlayStation Studios logo.
Yeah, but it's like it's not really a video game movie. It's a movie. No. It's based on a true story of Orlando Bloom plays this character who works in fucking marketing. The movie opens with him. Going to
like for PlayStation or no? Just
no,
like,
he goes to Nissan,
or, right?
But he says like Nissan. Respectful. Nissan. But he says it Nissan.
Nissan.
It's very rare.
Go to Nissan.
There are some of the most bizarre line reads from him. His character is
bad. He's going to be one of the worst actors of all time.
He is fucking shocking in this movie. At one point, what's the name of David Harbour's character?
Sully. Let's just call him Sully. Don't look. He's Sully.
I've just got to do the line read as well as I can. But so it opens with him going to Nissan.
Nissan.
How do you say it regularly?
I mean, in Australia, I say Nissan.
In Australia, we say
because I'm fucking true blue.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but it's Nissan. Nissan, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
It's from the land of rising sun.
But so. It opens with his character, going to like the marketing department of Nissan. And basically pitching this idea that they're going to train up someone who plays Gran Turismo to become an actual racer.
Not the person who grew up. Sorry, not to be mistaken for the person who like grew up playing Call of Duty to become a racist.
No, exactly. No, yeah. Okay. So it's the name of the character. Well, that the real life person, the racer, the OG gamer to racer is
his Mario, name is isn't it?
Jan Mardenborough.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a cool name.
Crazy rank name.
Jan, like Y-A-R-N?
J-A-N-N. Maybe it's Jan. I can't remember.
John. Where's he from?
He's from the UK.
Cool.
But David Harbour plays this guy called Jack Salter.
That's sick.
Who is an ex-racer.
Ex-racist or current racist?
He's like now he like works in the pit crew for like a really really rich guy who.
Oh wait,
who
is that doesn't, Samsung?
No one can hear it, but in the distance, Angus's washing machine is playing funny. A little jingle.
I saw a meme today of like DJ Khaled dancing as he does, and it just said. Me when my Samsung washing machine finishes its cycle and plays the song, and I was like, this is like the best fucking like. You know, my data's been sold and it knows I own this or other people know that noise. It was a good moment.
I have that with my rice cooker.
Oh, it makes a little song.
Yeah,
little mine just jingle. Does a beep. Yeah, you got that high end shit.
That motherfucking rice is ready.
Yeah.
But so David Harbour is like, he's working for this rich shithead driver that doesn't appreciate good racing. It's just all about the money, and he doesn't. The,
I hate
know,
those people, man.
The worst. We can all relate.
I hate that they're racing. You know.
But Orlando Bloom's character basically like calls all these potential people that could be the trainer sure, to these gamers.
Yeah.
And they all say no immediately, and then he has like one person on the list that he's
like. So this is a true story, right?
Yeah, yeah. So he's written NFW. No fucking way.
Cool.
Next to Jack Salter's name, and he finally gets down to it.
As in like, and he's a tough prick and he knows he's going to be
he's like, there's no way I can work with this guy kind of thing. And he gets to the bottom of the list and he stands up. He's like smashing a beer and he's got this list in front of him. He said no to everyone said no to him on the phone. And he picks up, he like stands up and he goes, holy shit, Jack Salter.
Just
to himself.
Yeah, right.
And it's the weirdest line read.
It's a decision. It's certainly a decision, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
yeah. Just by himself.
And I saw this. You know, we went to the premiere of it. People like it was a lot of like gaming press.
Yeah,
it was the least glamorous. Like they put a lot of effort into it. There was a DJ. There was a lot of VR rig set up.
Sure.
They were doing a lot of turntablism.
Oh, okay. A lot of scratching.
It was a Sydney DJ beast mode.
That's crazy.
He's probably one of the best turntablists in Sydney.
That's insane.
A very unappreciated art these days.
Is there a scratching scene in the film?
No, or? But I guess it was apt. I don't know. Fuck it. We may as well do it somewhere.
That's crazy.
I feel like people's patience for that in a nightclub is a lot less than it used to be.
Yeah, well, yeah, it doesn't really exist, right? What was your favorite scratch he did?
I can't remember. I was like, oh, someone's scratching. And I was like, oh, it's beast mode. There you
it's go. Beast mode. He woke up in beast mode, didn't he?
But the premiere had all like, about like eight different VR setups. We actually got to sit inside like a proper Gran Turismo rig.
Yeah.
And I was like
the kid in the trailer.
And I got in the line and B was like, oh, do you want to go in one? I'm like, no, I want you to get in one. And
she
said NFW. No fucking way.
Really?
Yeah.
Remember there was
holy shit. Bianca Levin.
Is it a period film? Like when is it set?
Or yeah, I mean, I guess it's set in like the early 2000s, but sure. It doesn't ever feel like that. Like
are they playing modern PlayStations? Or
maybe
no?
Gran Turismo just always felt... You know, like a FIFA that where it always just looks the same. Looks I think the same
they've
only, 10 years.
Well, they've had like 7 editions, right? Like the current one on PS5 is Gran Turismo 7, I think.
Is it? Yeah, maybe. But you know, it's very much a simulator more than a game.
I remember some dudes in high school, like on the first one, were so into it, and they'd be like, "Oh, I did the like 3-hour trial last night, where they had to do like X amount of laps around a thing, and like bring their PlayStation 1 memory card to school to transfer their like ghost data to someone's car or something. Other card. It was bizarre.
The core story, it's a good one. Like, it's sure. Like, you know, the true story of this dude, and especially at the end when they like, it's revealed that the stunt double for the lead actor is the actual guy who went from gaming to racer. Jan himself. Well, that was like the coolest moment of the movie for me. All the racing.
Where do they reveal that?
Like at the very end. Like
to the screen?
In like, you know, where it's like, reveals like, you know, what all the, every character wanted to do.
Okay.
And it's like, hey,
gotcha.
You know,
what was the last thing Neil Blomkamp, or however you pronounce
Chappie,
it?
Right? I don't know.
I think that's his last feature, yeah. Yeah, Gran Turismo 7 is the current, the most current version of the game.
Neil Blomkamp, District 9, Elysium, Chappie, Demonic in 2021. I didn't see that one.
Is it a feature?
It has Carly Pope.
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah, it seems pretty. I didn't see that one. Demonic.
Yeah, so wow.
It's a horror movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
One to watch.
Got very negative reviews. It had a budget of $1.5 million, but it did a box office of $360,000.
Pretty good. That's a pretty cheap film.
Movie should be cheap. Gran Turismo, what do you think the budget was?
I don't know, $80,000.
Doesn't say. I don't know. Huh. Heaps. production.
Did the Polyphony logo play before it? You know, the old Owl studio that used to make like the one with that cool Owl logo. They made the Gran Turismo games.
Oh no, unfortunately not.
No.
But yeah, like the actual core story and the racing scenes are really well shot. They're fun as shit.
Yeah.
And also like his journey to become, you know, to go from gaming to racer is a good one. But then they cram like this shitty, underbaked
like love
romance.
Story.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so bad.
Between what, Orlando Bloom and the boy? Or?
I wish. No, it's just like some random chick that he like has like goes to. It takes a long time to get going. And he's and also very, very forced. Like his dad doesn't believe in him.
Sure.
Side plot as well. And then also. He gets involved in a race that like kills a spectator.
Oh,
he crashes a car.
Generally, a career killing, you know, moment.
And instead of him there being like he's sad about it.
Yeah,
literally,
sure.
Every single character just tells him it isn't his fault until he gets back in the car and starts racing again.
That's cool.
And at no point do you learn anything about the person who died. It's like swept under the rug.
I wish that
hard.
Happened to me when I hit someone with my car in the future.
Matthew Broderick produced this movie.
It's not your fault. Yeah.
Brandy and Matthew Broderick.
And Caitlyn Jenner.
All hit famous
all the,
hit and
all
runners.
The famous whoopsies.
But yeah, I it's a. It's a fun watch.
Sure.
It's way too long. I
mean, what an interesting fucking filmography for that dude.
Yeah.
At one point, do you remember he was making a sequel to Aliens?
Yeah,
that was
of course.
Like disavowing.
Yeah, yeah. He was offered the
Alien
world
3
at one point. Yeah.
And Alien Resurrection and everything, and he was doing like a true sequel.
I always forget that Alien 3 is Fincher.
So
I was reminded of that this week.
He hates that film. Was like, I didn't make that.
I always liked that movie. I don't know.
He's like, he made it by committee. He's like, that's not my film. But a lot of people have defended it. And he's like, please don't talk to me about that. He's
crazy.
Like, my first real film is The Game. He's like, that's not the film I made. they released the original William Gibson script that was the blueprint for Alien 3 as like a comic, I think, or
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was like a kind of similar, but different. But
fuck, you sent me the, sorry, just remembered it. The original pitch script for Black Panther 2.
Oh yeah.
Obviously Chadwick dying affected that script greatly.
Cause I think like even like Ryan Coogler didn't know he was sick. Maybe it was quite a private thing that no one knew about. And it sounded like a fucking banger compared to the Ironheart backdoor pilot, Red Hot Chili Pepper jogging, fucking Avatar people ripoff movie we got.
Yeah.
It was such an interesting concept, right? It was just basically about, he was like, the first film is about a son losing his father. And he's like, the second film was about T'Challa returning after the snap, the blip, and his son already being 5 years old. And like, coming to terms with the fact his father was his Black Panther, but also knowing who Black Panther
which
was.
Which is so smart because we never got to really see, like, I feel like...
You only see, like, D characters who have, like...
She is about to be a lead in the Marvels.
That just sounds like someone's walking in.
Someone coming into your house?
Do you
check on that?
It's like the door...
The cockroaches are back.
No, it's like sometimes when the neighbors open doors, wind like blows through and makes a weird sound.
What if we were about to get swatted? Someone found out... Some great
a
listener
hey fan
found
fan.
Out.
Yeah. I'd be like, coming in.
I feel like a Hey Fam fan, if they found out our addresses, they'd just send us pizzas.
Yeah, I think so.
That was always such a weird prank.
Yeah, I'm like, thanks for the pizza.
Also, like, stupid business.
Oh, you know,
model.
It's because, like, you couldn't pay back then. You had to, like, pay for it when it showed
up.
Yeah, of course. But now it's just like, okay, thanks. Now it's like some Mr. Beast move. It's like, I paid a million people. I gave a million people pizza.
I didn't realize he's in the Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah, apparently he has, like, a voice. He's a lion or some shit.
Maybe like Raf opens a Mr. Beast franchise. Mr.
Or
Beast
sues,
burger.
Sues them. Like,
oh, of course,
is.
Yeah. A weird lawsuit.
Or maybe they see like a burger get flushed down the toilet.
But yeah, Gran Turismo is like...
Oh, wait, what were you saying? Oh, yeah, the Black Panther 2 thing. Fucking sick.
Yeah, it was a cool pitch. I'm sure we're missing out some key moments.
Because none of that was in this film.
I mean, it's sad as shit that Chadwick Boseman died. Like,
so sad.
And I don't doubt how difficult it was to make a movie in his shadow, but... Like
the one
we got was
dog shit.
Yeah. And also, what's fucked is that it's like one of the good ones.
There's a third of a film in there that's really captivating and good.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's the one with Namor.
It's just
and the
so
one
insane
with Ironheart.
That they didn't lean on all these characters that we had already met. And like we spent time with them mourning properly instead of like, what they gave us.
What about like even having fucking like Winter Soldier there, like going and being like, oh my god, this guy like saved me. Like instead they're just like, here's some blue water people that are about to get upstaged by Avatar in 3 weeks.
You know what I realized?
What?
I don't, I mean, they haven't fully, like, you know, clarified the timeline in which he was a Skrull. But
yeah,
I feel like Agent Ross listening to Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Skrull move?
That's a Skrull move.
That's pretty funny. That, if that, that that's awesome.
That the Skrulls love just like, Red Hot Chili
Damn,
Peppers.
Damn, I'm actually into Red Hot Chili Peppers. And maybe that's why, you know, we were experiencing that movie through him as a Skrull, because like, he seemed not to be sure that he was once married to Julia Louis-Dreyfus, nor what her character's purpose is yeah. after like 3 years of popping up.
I forgot she was even in that movie. What
I forgot she's in that fucking
what
series.
Hell?
What does she do?
Man, is she coming back in that Thunderbolts movie? Which that shit ain't ever coming out.
I mean, Harrison Ford's in it. They have to.
Fuck.
He's like, I don't know what a
stupidest movie ever.
I don't know what a Red Hulk is.
I feel like they're.
Oh no, I got that movie confused. Sorry, I'm thinking of the new Captain America. That's what he's in.
Well, I mean, surely he's going to be.
They haven't started
Thunderbolts too, because that's like a fun part of this team is that there's a Red Hulk on the team.
Yeah, but I who knows? It's Harrison Ford.
Also, Harrison Ford didn't know he becomes a Hulk.
he's like offended. <It's> like, he's so good. I love how curmudgeonly he is, man.
Yeah, but he really wanted to make an Indiana Jones movie, and he insisted they spent $300 million on it.
If he paid for it, that would have been cool.
He could probably afford it.
Well, you need to cap out his trilogy of you know,
quadrilogy.
No, his trilogy of
what's quintology? Is that
that's five? No, but yeah. You need to cap out, you know, the Blade Runner 2049, The Force Awakens, yeah, sure. India, taking on his most iconic 80s roles. And then just being old.
Why
again.
Didn't he make Air Force 2?
Because he would never be vice president. That's true. That's what they fly in.
Yeah.
Because that, yeah.
I can't imagine that they had to try and explain how he becomes vice president yeah. 20 years later.
It's like, yeah, they felt sorry for him. That'd be sick.
Yeah, but...
Gary Oldman, good villain.
You wrote to me like the day after I saw Gran Turismo being like, should I watch it? And I was like, I mean, probably not. Like,
it's... I missed my chance to not pay for it.
Exactly. Now you got to wait for streaming.
Yeah. I'm just like, I don't, I've never, if I liked the game.
I want you to see it for the line read. Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Hopefully so that's
Jack Soltaire.
Hopefully someone's like cam rip that moment soon.
I don't, people aren't talking. Yeah. Has it become a meme? I feel like.
I mean, The Flash was essentially viewable as like memes via TikTok.
I feel like it's the new Morbius because yeah, people sure. are making fun of like, the concept of the movie that just that one
Gran
line,
Turismo.
Like the you know a game from Game and Eraser,
yeah.
With no intention of ever seeing it.
Sure,
yeah.
One of the best things I've seen recently.
It's a Sony movie too, right?
I guess so. Yeah, it is.
And now a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One of the best things I've seen recently was... you know how like there's like such a small window now from when a film's out theatrically to its digital release.
Yeah, it's so
and especially when like the film is dog shit, they rush that shit out. But that first like week and a half of people showing like how bad like Ben Affleck's Batman suit looked.
Yeah.
And all these like the bad lighting and everyone's like posting being like, this movie looks like dog shit, like cam rips. And a lot of vocal defenders were like, no, 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 this is like shot on a phone in a cinema. Just wait till it comes out. And obviously like the fucking ending where everyone's got their like blank AI cameo moment.
Yep.
And then the movie came out like 2 weeks later on digital and people were like retweeting them or whatever, being like, nah, it looks fucking worse. Like not shot on an iPhone. Like you can see how clear it is. And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a disgusting looking movie.
Dude. Seeing the Nick Cage of Superman shit again and like
just
the
fucking
George Reeves and
the Christopher like Reeves too, where he like turns around on a
wait, they're both named Reeves?
Yeah, well, George Reeves and Christopher Reeves.
Wow.
Not related. And there's a film, I forget what it's called, but Ben Affleck plays George Reeves.
Oh wow.
About him being Superman because he was like a crazy alcoholic and died from it.
It's
I think.
So funny how many DC movies. Yeah, this one, and then Wonder Woman shows up and she's in it for three she's in it for 3 minutes.
Hey boys, need some help. Hey boys, do you need help?
Even fucking Fast 10, she shows up.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. Hey boys, do you need pops out of the submarine with a little lasso.
Dude, Someone get the scene where Giselle shows up at the end of Fast
and they put on the Wonder Woman thing.
Someone's already done it?
Yeah, I saw it the other day.
That's awesome.
Someone's like, man, we'll be watching Superman Legacy and this shit happens. Because you know how there's always rumors that they're doing it.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that's true.
I mean,
I think like that she's like, yes, we are talking about developing. I think it's going to be her finding out soon that James Gunn will let her be an executive producer.
I just feel like they're just doing all these weird announcements to like distract from how badly all the movies are bombing.
Yeah.
Like you watch like Blue Beetle will make like fucking 18 million in its theatrical run.
Hey man, I don't know. Swoop seems to take. Yeah. Oh no. The Fortress of Solitude is under attack and then it needs some help and coming out.
That's so funny.
I'm going to send that. It's like so good. That shot, and she looked like she filmed that in a fucking Zoom like window.
Fuck man, Fast 10 sucked.
Yeah, it's so baffling seeing certain people like ride or die it.
Yeah, and also that's, I mean, we're thinking about the same person on Twitter we follow,
yeah,
who loves a lot of shit we love, the Miami Vice apologist. But fucking hated Mission Impossible
7,
Dead Reckoning, but loves like rides so hard for Fast 10.
It could just be,
I think it's just like, it's like, you know, like
contrarianism.
Maybe a little bit of that, but I think, I think also like the way that they use digital filming, maybe, I don't know, it appeals to them.
And speaking also just about the people on the internet who talk about movies, a great tweet today that I sent you from Soups. That's just a one sheet for Howl's Moving Castle, a film that's like 18 years old, like regarded one of the, you know, pinnacle.
Has he followed up on it yet?
Nope, he's just said, time to see what the hype is all about. I'm just like, no, why is he doing this? Why is blood getting into anime again?
Him becoming an anime nerd is very funny.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it happened to
but
me.
But you know what that means? Writing's on the wall. He knows superhero movies are like on the
Everyone. Yeah. Like, cause, I mean, like James got like all these new DC, like Blue Beetle, Aquaman, they're all going to flop hard. You watch every time one of the movies comes out, James Gunn is going to announce some fucking obscure character is being played by like someone, some sitcom actor.
He's like, Keanu Reeves is playing Plastic Man.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, okay. In the first 5 minutes of the new Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh.
Jenna Ortega is the Black Canary.
Yeah. Who played her again in Birds of Prey? Wasn't there like a canary?
Did she even sing? Did she even have a high-pitched voice? I can't remember.
Once at the end, they're like roller skating and she's,
I know, people like enjoy the general vibe of that movie, but like,
it was messy.
It was so messy.
It's very messy. Parts of it are fine, I think.
Well, yeah.
Margot Robbie's fucking awesome. Brilliant to watch playing Harley Quinn.
That duck egg sandwich looks good.
I wonder if she'll ever go back to that, to playing Harley Quinn.
I feel like three's enough. She clearly has fun doing it though, but like,
yeah, but I mean,
see fucking David Ayer saying James Gunn told him
one day
we're gonna
cook. The Woody meme. He's just like, hold up, the world's not ready yet.
This movie can be critically panned.
But you know what
again,
that means in my head? I'm like, that means someone at Warner Brothers is like, oh, we've got another movie with Margot Robbie in the can who just cleared $1 billion with Barbie. Yeah, let's release that soon. That sounds like something.
And it's like, yeah, everyone, like the one thing that we know there's way more of
Harley Quinn
and Joker shit.
Unfortunately, yeah, Joker.
Jared Leto.
But they will be like, oh, we've got extra footage of Margot Robbie, like a female producer who's the first female producer to produce a film with a director, female director that's went over $1 billion.
Do you reckon it's going to do better than Mario overall this year?
I fucking hope so.
Yeah.
Unlike Mario, there are so many, both of them are amazing textbook cases. And like, see, I wanted Mario to get the Barbie treatment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good director.
Yeah.
Someone that has an interesting story to tell that loves the character. Instead, we got fucking 80 songs and
and like background gags as opposed to like, you know, character, like references that.
That's what I wanted. I wanted Mario.
Mean for shit.
I want Mario to be that. Fucking excited for Mutant Mayhem.
Yeah, man. Now that as soon as I heard Mr. Beast was in that motherfucker,
well, I was fucking not interested at all. And then as soon as I heard,
because none of the actors were promoting it because of the strike or something.
But then
thankfully,
Mr. Beast
promoted
the picket
or something. he scabbed, so I could. That was what finally convinced me.
I can't wait. That movie looks so fucking good. And like,
it's the same animation studio as like all those dog shit animal, like, you know, like Spy Chimps or something. Like,
how are they cooking?
It's so funny, right?
Yeah. Well, did you see like Seth Rogen was apparently like really good with lack, like no burnout for Addy. He was like very conscious.
Yeah, he must have had the biggest shit eating grin when he got to talk about that on Twitter.
Oh, like, did he talk about that?
Oh, I can't remember. It was like him saying like we had no crunch to the studios.
Right. Yeah. Sure. I read about it elsewhere, but yeah, maybe that's what happens when you let people cook. You know, maybe like shit looks good.
Yeah, totally.
Because we are the like perfect age for the people who grew up with Ninja Turtles. Because I forget sometimes that like some people I work with are like, oh, who are they? Like, which character's which?
And no,
like,
but that's on them. Like, I feel like everyone. No, but like
it hasn't been as popular. Like before The Simpsons, it was like Simpsons
sure,
big.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not been like a global phenomenon.
Yeah.
Since like 89 to 91. With that first live action film, the second live action film, the toys, like that was mania. And then The Simpsons, I think, like overtook that.
Yep.
And then it went to whatever next, whatever. But just that shit is so ingrained in me, like those characters. And I don't know, man, I'm so pumped because it looks sick.
Yeah, for sure.
It looks fun as hell.
The voice cast looks wild.
It sounds like they're doing like kind of their own things with characters.
Yeah.
Like,
and because they cast like a bunch of like relatively unknown teenagers to be cast, Nickelodeon are making an animated series with that voice cast.
Oh, right.
As the leads.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. But it obviously won't look that good. I take it.
No, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Budget will stop it. But I mean that rise of the Ninja Turtles cartoon, that's like, it still looks great. The action scenes are fucking red hot.
I hope it looks good. I just hope it's not like CG or something. Like, 3D CG.
Have you did you come across any of the recent episode of One Piece clips posted on Twitter this week?
No, I've muted that word a long time ago.
Luffy got Gear 5, which is where he basically turns into the mask and has like Looney Tunes powers.
Oh.
And they finally...
What does gear mean?
So it's just like, you know, it's a like shonen
or something.
Yeah, it's like the next level. So it's sure. Like gear 1, gear 2, gear 3. And every time it's like a new way he can transform his body to fight.
Is he like perma-locked like that?
It's like, it's so stupid to describe, but it's like for a limited amount of time, he can use his body in this way to beat a foe. No, and well, he's then fucking exhausted.
Okay.
And needs to, you know, eat.
Sure. But he can like keep doing it.
Yeah, he and you know, obviously with training and fights means he can hit those moments.
Does he
much
know how
earlier.
Many gears there are? Like, is he striving?
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's time for fifth gear or whatever.
Oh,
yeah,
but are there a finite amount? Do they
who
end
knows?
Up like 10? Okay,
this feels like the last one because it's just in. What's cool about it is it's not cool at all. It's like full on, like Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
His eyes pop out of his head, and like it's like and it's. So I was looking forward to the animation because I love the design.
You don't watch it, do you?
I reckon I watched like 3 episodes of One Piece a year. Like right. The ones where everyone's like, oh, the animation's actually good in this one.
It's really funny that there's like discussions that where they're like, the animation's good in this episode.
Well, yeah, because it's Toei Animation who like, you know, cheap out a lot. And they're, you know, this episode like had, yeah, some cool scenes, but so much of it was like fucking flashbacks because they stretch out shit. It's such an infuriating show to watch.
Sure. But some people ride or die the show.
Some people only watch the anime, which is fucking insane. About to be eclipsed by
the Netflix.
The people that only watch the Netflix.
You know what?
Show. Yeah.
I might be that.
Oh, dude, I'd fucking end the podcast.
Imagine if I'm like, if I was like,
if you're defending it. Like,
no, not even that. Just being like, I hated it, but I'm going to make it the only piece of... That's some Joker origin
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, I'm the only One Piece media I'm engaging with is season 1. I just remember then, speaking of One Piece live action, that they teased the character of Ed in the finale of fucking the Cowboy Bebop live action. Mm. Like, they'll probably pop up in Secret Wars, I guess, now that they're not popping up in... They're living in the eternal. They're living in the celestial.
They're the enormous eternal sticking out of Earth that no one's talking about.
Yeah, but wait. So you were watching him gear out?
Yeah, and it's like there's some. It's pretty cool. It's very different to how the animation style normally is. Taking a lot of cues from like your Chuck Jones and you know Tom and Jerry shit from a long time ago.
Stuff that was probably at one point just you know banned in America.
But the fucking sound effects suck so much. It's just like, it's obviously trying to take its cues from those classic cartoons, but there's no weight to any of the noises.
How long was he gear fiving for? which I'm loving asking that.
Like, I don't know, like a quarter of the episode.
Oh, okay, that's good.
And it's to be continued into the next episode.
Yeah, is he just like...
Yeah. Just well, I mean, what's cool is going to lead to heaps of sick merch. I already have two Luffy Gear 5 toys, and I'm planning to get more. Because have you seen it?
He's like got white hair, right?
Yeah, and like they made.
Why is his hair white?
Come.
That's all I want. Is it like this shit?
What are you showing me?
Oh my god!
It's like.
Yeah, it legit
like,
is that.
I was like trying to
bonk like here.
I was trying to queue up.
And it just. What the fuck was that?
I don't know, I'm just looking for
goodness. But like they've made a
yeah, that's like some mask shit.
A figure. Yeah, that's why I like it. It's like a figure of Luffy's eyes like popping out of his head. Legitimately they use that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And like they should have, but in a bit. How long is this? Keep going.
That's it.
Oh, damn.
But I always, when I hear those sound effects, I'm like, it's kind of amazing that, like, you know, we were animating and there's like a Foley guy and they're like, we need a sound that sounds like a mouse is running so fast that their feet are kind of hovering above the ground without them creating momentum. And he's like, got you, fam.
Yeah, yeah.
And just drops this. And you're like, damn, how did you articulate that?
That's why you're the best.
It's like Rick Rubin levels of just, it's the Thugger Dirk me. It's just like, I think I know how that mouse
sounds. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh yeah, in this scene, a mouse hits a mallet on a cat's head and the cat is so angry, but his legs are spinning so fast he's not running. And it's like, how do you come up? Whoop, whoop, whoop. It's so insane.
But I also heard all those sounds. There's a new Tom and Jerry short, which has been made by a Singapore-based animation company. So it's for Cartoon Network. And they're making a whole season, but they just dropped a short this week. And it's Tom and Jerry fighting over durian.
P.O.
Yeah, and so like Tom loves eating durian, but Jerry hates the stink of it. So he tries to get rid of the durian and antics ensue. But like it's cool. It's like you can see the like in the skyline outside of the apartment that the Tom and Jerry are fighting in is all like, you know, like
Singapore
the,
backgrounds.
What's it called? Like Four Sands.
Remember they made a movie like Marianne during COVID where they like, we're in a hotel with Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sounds like a fake movie.
And I'm pretty sure Tom and Jerry like talk.
Yeah, it sounds like a fake movie. Is this in it?
I'm pretty certain it is, yeah. But it's really funny. It's a great little short.
Who comes up with this shit, man?
The twinkle toes.
I need to know that someone's tiptoeing around. I got you. It's
like, you can watch the short on YouTube.
The top comment on this on YouTube.
It's called "What's That Smell?"
That's really funny, dude. The top comment on this on YouTube is, "Guys, Drake is suing me for copyright infringement." Just saying that Drake's goofy. So they're all Drake comments. Who let Drake out of his cage?
They think.
Someone's tagged 13 seconds and says so inspirational. It's wait, what's the 30 seconds? Sorry, what were you trying to show me?
I was just trying to show you Tom's new design.
Damn, is that Gear 5 Tom?
Yeah, Gear 5 Tom.
Did I tell you that day I caught a train home and I was sitting next to like a guy in high vises, like he's a laborer. I think I finished work early, so I was on the train home a little earlier, and it's like when, like, you know, men that have real jobs finish work. And so I was on the train with them with my, like, you know, uncalloused hands looking like an absolute bitch.
Yeah.
And this dude who's kind of older, maybe like 40s, was sitting next to me, no headphones in, and was watching whole episodes of Tom and Jerry via a Facebook page.
That's right.
On his phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like in one by one square. Just loving it.
Well, if you run into him again, ask him if he loves the new one.
It was probably the coolest person I've ever been.
Yeah, you spent about half an hour talking about
how
him
cool is that though.
Before.
Like, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted. That to me is like, that's you've ascertained complete happiness and peace in your life when you're like sitting on a train at 3 p.m. watching Tom and Jerry like fucking half hour blocks via a Facebook page that's certainly not in English and was just like Sanskrit and just like not an official, there was no blue tick, and just someone whose job it is somewhere in the way. And I'm like, fuck, the internet's beautiful. Like, someone's just uploading these and there's a guy I'm sitting next to and trying watching them, and they probably have never spoken together.
Mm.
And I was like, that's beautiful.
He's just got to find out.
He's got to hear
if
those
if that cat
toes.
Ever gets the mouse. And then, you know, they don't dub that in other languages. That sound is
that's
universal.
International. Yeah. You and Luffy gets Gear 5, right?
Yeah.
That's you running to get the gacha. It's your wife hitting you for spending your mortgage money on Luffy Gear 5. Man, I've been in a real crazy part of YouTube lately.
Yeah.
This account's called Early American, and this fucking woman gets recipes from the 1700s and cooks them only with methods in a fucking hut that they would have had in the 1700s.
And she doesn't talk while she does it?
No talking. Yeah, it's just quiet, and it's like chocolate tart from 2022.
Why is there a chicken?
And roast chicken.
Oh, right.
And she just makes that, and she has like a fire that she stokes and like hangs chickens from it. It's like insane.
I've seen like, yeah, Chinese ones of that where it's like they grow everything themselves.
Oh, I've seen some of that. That's cool.
That shit is like, yeah.
But this is kind of weird because it's kind of like fucking like Abe Lincoln era shit. It's like Civil War.
Some Amish shit.
It's bizarre, dude. Yeah. The biggest video that they've made is 18th century hamburger from 1747 fire cooking.
Dude, how did that shit be bussing?
Well, I haven't watched that one yet. I don't know why.
The sound effects sound like fucking...
Kind of the second best sound effects like I've heard fucking tonight. Abe Lincoln signing 13th Amendment.
That's me running to get my roast chicken and chocolate tart.
Dude, it's so wild. Ding, 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 ding. Like, man, whoever came up with that is on par with the Beatles for like, you know, they invented sound.
We both bought tickets to see Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney. You're... Kids are going to receive the greatest education of their life.
Yeah, you bought two tickets, which cost the same as me buying four tickets.
Yeah, I spent $400 on A row.
I'm happy slumming it in the C row.
Going with my parents as well.
No, that's great.
Yeah. I bought four tickets at $1,600.
Okay, right. That's fucking wild.
This is my Eras tour.
What seats did you have for him last time?
I actually bought them. They have like an industry section where you can buy them before they go on sale, but you kind of take a risk because you don't know where they were. Luckily, we were dead center. It was at a arena show indoors. Yeah, we were dead center, but not on the ground.
Yeah, this is like fucking outdoor stadium.
This is outdoors. I'm like, my tickets were in the first 15 rows.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Which is like, man, to see a Beatle, fucking insane. And it was like, we've spoken about on this pod where you and I were like, I was like, it was one of the greatest shows of all time.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm always thinking about what shows can I take the kids to that they're going to remember forever.
They're going to remember this.
How funny is this? B was like, the kids were asking me about Paul McCartney and like, she was like, but didn't the Beatles stop making music in like over 50 years ago? I'm like, yeah, but like Paul McCartney had like a solo career and another band after that. And they had heaps of good songs. And B was like, yeah. So like, don't worry, Archie. Those songs are good too. So like, we'll listen to those so you know them. And then B goes, does he play any Beatles songs? I'm like, yeah, why the fuck would
it's like 80% of the show is Beatles. 90% of the show is Beatles songs. He even plays George and John songs. He's not just playing Paul songs.
That's sick.
Yeah. There's great footage. He headlined Glastonbury this year or last year. I think it was last year. And they isolated a lot of the stuff from the Peter Jackson doc. Did you watch all that?
No. I barely made it through half an episode.
You gotta watch it. It's fucking amazing. It's just like watching four chefs cook. It's crazy. Sure. It's like...
What are they cooking? Chocolate tart and roast chicken?
Let It Be, the album. they've isolated like a lot of Lennon's tracks. So he finally, for the first time, performed I've Got a Feeling live. And has like John on the huge screen on
feeling.
The roof.
Too.
Yeah. That tonight's gonna be good night. Ba, 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 ba.
Mazel tov.
Huge song. Whoop, 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 whoop. It's the that of that song, isn't it? That song is like a goofy sound effect.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, I was watching Fergie on Good Morning America, that amazing performance. It's like 8:05 a.m.
Oh, yes.
And she's doing flips. And she's singing Barracuda. And dude, it's 8:05. There's like little girls. And the best bit, she just screams at the end of the song. This is better than the flip. She goes, do you know where you are? You're in the jungle. You're going to die. Something like that. and it's just these girls and families, 805 at like Rockefeller Plaza. She's like flipping around telling kids they're in the jungle.
And they're going to die.
It's insane. It's so good.
She's funny as shit, man.
She's like, Barracuda! And they're like flipping. Like, this is crazy. It's like, yeah, it was sick. It's part of, you know, it's part of the process.
Mm. Yeah.
So what else has been happening?
Well, you've been seeing a shitload of movies.
You saw Pain and Gain. I haven't even said what you thought of Pain and Gain.
Yeah, because I fucking loved it.
I can't
put it into words.
You were completely blown away.
I think if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen Pain and Gain yet, prioritize that shit. I feel like I can start living.
I think that you and I, and I said this to you while we're watching, we can lead the reevaluation because it hasn't really been one.
We still, like, every now and then I see a meme about Pain and Gain.
Yeah, but I don't think it's had like quite the Miami Vice reappreciation. You know what I mean? Like, I think it needs a bit more. So I think Hey Fam,
it's such a good looking movie. And there's so many interesting shots too. Like, he does a lot of putting a camera on an object.
Dude, there's that shot in the movie that I'm like, we got to go back and watch. And Wahlberg puts on some Wayfarers. He's attached like a tiny digital camera to them. And you see him walking for maybe 2.5 seconds. And it's just that.
It's just latched
to the side.
You see directly the reflection of all of his sunglasses. It's like, yeah.
I've never seen someone do cocaine so well on screen like The Rock.
The Rock is fucking amazing. Doesn't he like remember shooting that movie or like watch himself back and being like, man, I need to make him another movie like this.
It's so good. Yeah.
I need to stop trying to be that like great a hero bit when,
dude, fucking,
and just be a funny
what's,
fuck
what's
it.
He, what's like, he call himself? Tom Lawn? Howling.
Like the funniest moment ever. And it's
Mark Wahlberg like basically like kidnaps the guy. And
it's such a Homer Simpson joke. Yeah. I know it's a Peter Griffin joke as well.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, someone asks your name.
But he's like basically like taken over this guy's house because they've kidnapped him, this multimillionaire. And like he's got this huge palatial house. He's riding on the ride on mower. And like, the name next door neighbor comes over and introduces himself. He's like, oh, what happened to like blah, blah, who used to live here? And he's like, oh, I'm here now. I bought it from him. And then he's like, what's your name?
He goes, Tom. And then looks around and he's on a lawnmower. Gross. And he goes, Tom Lawn.
Just incredible.
We had to pause.
Dude, we're just like, that's one of the best things I've ever seen. Tom Lawn.
Fucking incredible.
That's such a good name. Tom Lawn. It is seriously like a Homer Simpson, like, season 4 to 8 joke, isn't it?
Yeah,
like just fire shit.
So funny, man. Fuck.
I think it could be Wahlberg's best.
It's such a good
movie. Because he's delivering monologues in it. Oh, man. The other great thing is like every character monologues, like is a narrator at one
totally.
Point. It was so interesting. But his monologues are amazing because he's like so dumb and he's just like, I think he's like, if Patrick Bateman didn't go to university, he's like, I think human body is perfect and you should be perfect. Like it's just these like toxic bodybuilding shit, but it's so well delivered.
But then he's
become that
exactly.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. Tom Lawn.
I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Lawn told The Rock to stay prayed up at one point.
Yeah, I think you're right. Fuck Tom Lawn. I'm obsessed. That was such a good bit.
Tom Lawn, like the Jay-Z, Tom Ford.
Yeah,
Tom.
Yeah. I don't rock Wahlberg. I rock Tom Lawn.
but you've seen like a fucking shit ton.
Yeah,
of
let me fire up the
There's a bunch. It's
Letterboxd.
I know it's going to be so like lap it up now when all these movies are coming out.
We're getting dry,
and then the drought is going to come. And like, what are these? What are we going to do? What are these directors going to do? They can't work with their writers.
A24 directors can.
That's true.
And Talk to Me Too just got greenlit. Got announced today.
But like, you know, we can...
Which is sick.
None of these... Oh, that's great.
Yeah, like, got announced today.
I love how positive the reactions from that
are. Yeah, and I literally watched it... I saw it about a month ago. I saw a screener because I interviewed the dudes. But then I watched it in a full cinema the other night because I told them when I interviewed them, I was like, the only bad thing about the film was I watched it on my TV. Like, I need to see this in a cinema because... And they were like, oh, awesome. That's cool. And I did go. And I wrote in my review, I was like, this needs the sequel, which hadn't been announced or even thought of. I was like, it needs to be called Talk to Me, like with two, or I'm out. And then today it was announced, it's called Talk to Me.
That's sick.
And I was like, yes, they're literally doing it. But man, I don't know how, you're fine with horror. It's honestly worth seeing it.
Yeah, I'm going to try and see it during the week.
And it's Australian film.
And they're like, I watched a bunch of their YouTubes last week. Yeah, yeah. They used to do like like
parodies,
like Harry Potter versus Iron
Did you hear
Man
them on
like
a bunch, the big picture this week?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just like, oh, we weren't into that stuff.
I'm obsessed with that podcast.
Oh, it's great. But they were just we were into like South Korean dramas, but didn't want anyone to know. I found that so interesting. Like they like hid that they were into like art house films.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, we were kind of like embarrassed about it. So we just did all these like broad things.
But like even me getting into the big picture, which is a great movie podcast, I feel like I've done it at the worst possible time because movies are about to dry up. TV's
you just go back and listen to stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but like, you know,
they
smart
do like
podcasts,
specials and stuff.
Smart podcasts like us, well, we can always go back to Toomix.
Yeah.
But other podcasts aren't advanced enough.
No.
Fucking directors aren't advanced enough to like, you know. Oh, although imagine Christopher Nolan getting into Toomix.
Dude.
Now.
He'll finally write women correctly.
Now I am become Mike,
destroyer
of aunts.
Pussies. Destroyer of aunts, yeah. Mike Hungry.
Tom Lorne, Mike Hungry.
He's like, I'm trying to think of something about Bane saying he's going to break Batman. That's Mike saying he's going to break his aunt. Then you have my permission to die.
But yeah, we're going to talk about a whole bunch more movies today because it's fucking...
Well, I've seen a bunch. I've seen Talk to Me Again. I finally saw Shin Kamen Rider.
Hell yeah.
Which was phenomenal.
I finally saw it in English.
Oh, did you rewatch it? Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. I watched an amazing documentary, which I think comes out next week on HBO called Telemarketers. It is produced by Josh and Benny Safdie and Danny McBride and Jody Hill.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Speaking of that motherfucker, we need to talk about the Righteous Gemstones
finale.
Those last two episodes were perfect.
I saw Oppenheimer 70mm, kind of the best you can do in Sydney without an IMAX. And it was glorious. And I saw Meg 2, The Trench last night.
I think three colleagues in
4DX.
I'm the most excited to hear what you thought of Meg 2.
Meg 2, The Trench.
Having never watched the first Meg.
Went in cold. And came out colder because of that fucking water was on, brother.
So
let me just preface this, that it is... the movie started and we got the Warner Brothers logo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think 8 different Chinese companies' logos. And a third of the dialogue is in straight up Mandarin. Every computer screen is in Chinese. And I'm just like, this movie is... Not for this is one of the first global movies I've seen, and I couldn't be happier.
I saw The Beanie Bubble.
Oh, that's right.
Which is a huge piece of shit,
but with a huge cast.
Like there are like good reasons to check
Elizabeth
it out.
Elizabeth Banks, Sarah Snook.
Like we turned on the television, and because it's on Apple TV,
it's the first thing you see.
It was like Beanie Bubble, and I was like, is that Zach Galifianakis? Is that Sarah Snook?
Is that Tom Cruise? I bet you it's still. Oh no, they've now switched to physical. But. There you go.
Yeah, the Beanie Bubble. And it looks like... I also I love... Like, that's a cool thing to make a movie about. Like, because that was... You know, you don't have eBay blowing up as hard as it did without the Beanie Baby craze.
Yeah.
And I remember being, like, quite aware of the Beanie Baby shit.
Same.
When
I do too,
because
there was, like news reports on it and
my
stuff.
My sister's had a couple, but, like...
Well, the Princess Diana one's, like, the famous one.
Right.
You remember that was the one that's, like, worth so much money. They made a bear that was, like... wearing Lady Di's outfit, and then when she died it was like, you know, the price imploded.
So look, we're going to be talking about Beanie Babies, we're going to talk about Big Fucking Sharks.
Oh, RIP to fucking Paul Rubens, one of the best.
Fuck.
Just
that was sad.
I've used it. That's one of my official 3 RIPs I've used.
Wow.
I said that to you. I was like, I'm going to use it. Yeah. I've got 2 left. I'm so sad, but I'm so happy that he, you know, got arrested for the fucking coolest thing you could do, whacking off in a porno cinema. That
And then they tried to take him down for child pornography, but then it turned out to be fucking like bodybuilding magazines or something. Like
he just saw Pain and Gain like you and I.
Yeah.
It was just like, beautiful guy. Without him, we would not have the Barbie movie, I firmly believe.
Also want to talk about a bit of The Bear.
Dude, sorry, I've been waiting to ask, have you finished it?
No, because... Okay. We're around like 7 episodes in, 6 episodes in, and
what was the last episode you saw? Episode 6?
Yeah, I actually think so.
Well, what was it? Was it a flashback?
No, it's the one where they go to the Claire and Calm go to the house party.
Episode 5. You got 6.
But
seven.
Then Heartstopper season 2 dropped. That's my wife's favorite show.
What's that?
It's a British show about
ooh,
like
what's in my queue there?
Secret Invasion. Get that out
of
your queue.
What is it? Season 1, episode 2. Because I have not watched it. Get the fuck out of it.
Actually, Olivia Colman is in Heartstopper.
She's in The Bear.
Fuck, really?
Yeah.
Man, she's in everything.
Yeah.
That's cool as shit. Yeah, I love cool. it when she shows up. She's great. As a Peep Show head.
Yeah, I knew her just as a from yeah. years from Peep Show. I remember watching Peep Show like 15 years ago. Oh, and then like when she started popping up in movies, I'm like, oh, it's Sophie from Peep Show.
The craziest moment was like realizing
she's an Oscar winner now. She's like a best actor.
When she pops up in Mitchell's and the Machine versus the Machines.
She's no, like, I thought the best was when she was next to Donald Glover live action in Spider-Verse. She was the second other live action.
Is she? Oh, no, she's not. No, okay, right, okay.
So saying she's in everything.
But yeah, we got plenty of good shit to talk about. Yeah. So come and join us for another hour of Hey Fam over at patreon.com/HeyFam. You know how good it is to have us back. And I did notice a few people signing up last week, maybe in the hopes that, oh, they didn't put an episode in the main feed. They must have just done
let's do that once
one
a
in
month.
The paid feed. So look, you're going to get what you pay for this week,
fellas.
There was no
trauma. There was only business ethics.
So come hear us talk more movies.
Oh, I think this is the... movie he made before Blackberry.
Europa Report.
No.
It's not.
I got that wrong as hell.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for making that the end of this episode.
Why the fuck have I bookmarked this?
Patreon.com/HeyFam. Come join us. $5 a month is all it costs for you to get a bonus episode of HeyFam every single week. And this week, it's going to be a fucking doozy.
I can tell. Yeah. I got a good feeling. I got a feeling.
I can't hear high notes anymore. I've lost my falsetto.
Really?
Ooh,
it's because you had that vasectomy. I think they took it. Yeah, they took your falsetto and they took your...
Yeah, you're talking about like all these organs you don't have.
Yeah.
You can still create life.
Yeah, I can make life, but I don't. I choose not to. I'm like Oppenheimer. I can take it away too.